Imagine you're in a place of pitch blackness. You're surrounded by darkness. You can't see your hand in front of your face. Therefore, you don't know if you're in a padded room of safety or on the edge of a cliff ready to plummet to your death. You don't know if you're surrounded by friends that are going to surprise you or you're next to an axe murderer that is going to take your life. Your heart begins to race. Your breath becomes short. Sweat begins to collect on the brow of your head. You don't know what's going to happen. You are in darkness. Darkness is this place of unknown. We don't know what direction to go in or what we're surrounded by. If you think about it, we don't tell kids to be scared of the dark, yet they are. There's something about darkness, the unknown, that causes fear in us. You never see a scary movie filmed during the day. It's always at night, in the gloominess of the dark, in which scary movies are filmed. Why? Because it causes an emotion in us, an emotion of fear and anxiety of the unknown. And that is an emotion that happens in all of us when we're in darkness physically, but then there's this reality of emotional darkness and spiritual darkness that happens in all of us all the time. You see, we long to be in a place where there is light to guide us. We long for a flashlight in the midst of a dark room. We long for the door to be cracked, for light to break into the room to help guide us in the right path so we don't stub our toe. And this truth about light and darkness has significant impact for our spiritual lives. The Bible is filled with imageries of light and darkness. And it begins at the very beginning of creation when God created the universe. So at the very beginning of creation, God spoke light into darkness. God is the author of light. God is life to the world. And God would always manifest himself as light to his people, showing that he was giving life to them. It began when Moses encountered God at the burning bush, and God introduces himself as the I am, as the bush is burning. Then God used Moses to redeem and rescue his people out of slavery. And as God led his people out of slavery out of Egypt towards the promised land, God would manifest himself as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God's presence was with them in fire and light. God's leading was in that fire and light. And then God commanded the people of Israel to build what was called the tabernacle, the place in which they would worship and offer sacrifices to him. And at this tent meeting, God would come down as fire, representing, I am with you. My presence is with you. God would manifest his presence and his power by fire and by light. And then God, when they moved into Jerusalem in the temple, God manifested himself in the temple of Solomon as a pillar as fire and light. And God, through the book of Isaiah, says there will be one who will come, who will be the light to the world. He will cast out all darkness. And God was giving this promise to Israel as they're in Babylon. And then hundreds of years later, Jesus would be born. Jesus would come into the world. He would live for 30 years and he would begin his earthly ministry, pronouncement of who he is at the age of approximately 30. And through the book of John, it's unfolding who this Jesus is. And this point in the book of John that we're at is at the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles was a remembrance of what God had done in the past for the people of Israel. So all of Israel would be gathered in Jerusalem at the Temple Mount. And at the end of the festival, they would light these four large cauldrons of light. And that would be a time of remembering that God is the one who created the world. He is the light of the world. He is the one who manifested himself as a pillar of fire to redeem and rescue his people out of Egypt. And they were anticipating the hope of there would be light to come into the world. So at this festival, Jesus walks into this festival as light is beaming up into the sky in the darkness of night. And in that moment, Jesus declares, "I am the light of the world." That was radical. That was revolutionary. Jesus is claiming, "I am the presence of God. I am the power of God. I am God with you." You see, for thousands of years, we as human beings just had fire to warm ourselves, to light our path. And then in the late 1800s, in a movie that just recently came out called The Current, it records the story of Thomas Edison bringing light into the world, inventing the light bulb. And as inventing the light bulb was revolutionary to illuminate our world physically, it wasn't just revolutionary for Jesus to claim, "I am the light of the world." He was claiming, "I'm going to bring renewal. I'm going to bring restoration because I am the presence and power of God with you right now." So I invite you this morning to come on a journey with me as we unpack this significant statement of Jesus when he proclaims, "I am the light of the world." And let us see how this impacts our lives daily. So there Jesus was at the Feast of Tabernacle, and at the height of the feast, he said these words that we've looked at already. "I am the light of the world. Whoever believes in me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Right then and there, Jesus is declaring, "I am the presence of God with you right now. I am the power of God with you right now." This was astonishing. This was revolutionary because Jesus is going to bring renewal and reconciliation between humanity and God as the light of the world. And just as we as human beings need the sun that is in the sky to sustain our lives, to cause growth of the animals and the plants to give us food, so we need the light of God, Jesus Christ, in our lives to grow, to find freedom, and to be the people God intended us to be, to live in fellowship with him. So this morning, the big idea is this from John chapter 8. Freedom is found when we live in the light of Jesus. Freedom is found. Just as when you walk in darkness, you don't find freedom because you don't know where you're going or if you're going to stub your toe on the bed or if you're going to bump into a wall. There's not freedom when you walk in darkness. And so it is when we have the light of Christ in our life, when we live in the light of Christ, we find freedom. He's a light unto our path and he guides us. And there's freedom when we live in the light. But if we go back to the passage, it says, "Whoever believes in me will not walk in darkness." The truth is, humanity, apart from Jesus, walks in darkness. And Jesus came to us as the light to free us from darkness.
Jesus entered into this world. God became one of us and walked this earth. He experienced pain and suffering, betrayal. He experienced the darkness of the world that we live in. And if we're to live in the light, this contrasts that we no longer live in darkness, but we live in light. So we must look at, friends, apart from Jesus, we live in darkness. Earlier in the book, in John, it says this: this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. And he goes on and says, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that they have done has been done in the sight of God. But going back, it says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but we live in darkness. Paul, writing to the Ephesians chapter 2, says we are in darkness. Apart from Jesus, we are entrapped to Satan, sin, death, and our own flesh. And we keep on doing the things that we don't want to do. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and we live in this state of darkness. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers from the light of the gospel. So if you are apart from Jesus right now, you are headed for hell. You're living a dark life now. Jesus came to us. He moved into the neighborhood as light, and light exposes the darkness, but it gives freedom. You know, it's like when you walk out of a movie theater in the summer, you've been sitting in the dark for 3 hours or 2 hours watching a movie, and you kind of come out in that sunlight and it just kind of blinds you. So it is when we come into an encounter with Jesus for the first time, it exposes things in us. But that exposure shouldn't cause shame or guilt, but it should lead to the freedom that Jesus gives us because he knows everything and he guides us back to himself. It says, I am the light of the world. Whoever believes in me will not walk in darkness. Do you believe in Christ? Have you put your faith and trust into him fully? There's a story of at Niagara Falls, that a guy was walking across with a wheelbarrow over a tightrope, and he walked there and back. And then he came back, and the audience grew. And then he put a 120-pound bag of sand into the wheelbarrow and walked across the tightrope and then came back. And everyone was cheering, and said, do it again. And he's like, he asked someone in the audience, a teenage boy, who weighed about 120 pounds. Do you believe I can do this? Yeah, you can do it. Go ahead. He's like, well, you look like you weigh about as much as this bag of sand. So if you really believe, why don't you get into the wheelbarrow? You see, that's the place of belief. It's putting our life in the hands of another. And Jesus, when he says, whoever believes in me will not walk in darkness, it's putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You see, freedom is found when we live in the light of Christ. But some of you right now, maybe watching this, are not experiencing and living in that freedom. Let me ask you this question. Have you been freed from the darkness into the freedom of Christ? Have you been freed? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that he died the death you deserve and was raised to life to give you the life you don't deserve, and he reigns in heaven as Lord of all things, and we can put our faith and trust in him? And when we put our trust in him, it frees us. Light frees us to see a path of light. Light frees us to grow as human beings as we were intended to grow. So let me ask you, if you're watching this, have you been freed from the darkness into the freedom of Christ? How do you get freed? It's not by making yourself better. It's not by pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. It's by believing that Jesus is the light of the world. He died the death you deserve and was raised to life to give you the life you don't deserve and reigns in heaven now. Do you believe and trust in that? And many of you have, but how are you living in light of that? You see, Jesus is in us as the light of the world. Not only did he come to us, but now the second point is this. Jesus is in us as the light to free us to live the life to the fullest. Not only does he come to give us life, but he continues to give us life. John 10:10 says that he came that we might have life to the fullest. In the last section of Jesus' words here, it says, but we'll have the light of life. Are you having the light of life daily in your life? If he is the light, is he daily, is he the light of your path? It's interesting that the psalmist says that. He's a lamp unto our feet. He doesn't say a spotlight into our life, but a lamp unto our feet, that he is there to guide us to that next step in life, to trust him in that. Jesus is in us to give us the light and freedom that we need for life to the fullest now. The Holy Spirit lives in us for that. It frees us from the things that we keep on doing that we don't want to do. For example, what's a habit in your own life? What's something that you continually do and you're exposed? Jesus knows it already. You don't need to hide. You don't need to try to cover it up. It's not as though you can camouflage yourself with different things and God doesn't know it. You can't put on your Sunday best and make believe. You get exhausted by being somebody who you're not right now. But there's freedom when the light of Christ exposes us. It says, I see it. And then he says, not only do I see it and expose it, but my life, my light can cause growth in your life. If we walk in the light as he is in light, there's freedom. And allowing that light to continue to expose sin in our life and allow the gospel to come into our life to transform that area of your life. What's an area of your life that you need the light of Jesus to shine in? You need to open the door to allow the light of Jesus to shine in, to not be scared. You see, some of us like to kind of hide it from God. We like to hide in darkness. We actually become normal in our darkness of walking in the darkness. Our eyes adjust and it's familiar, yet it can be unhealthy. What area of your life that you need, do you need freedom to allow the light of Christ to shine in? It might make your eyes squint. You might not know how to navigate life right away, but then he will show you the path of life. Jesus is in us as the light to free us to live life to the fullest. It says this in John chapter 1. In Jesus was life, and that life was a light of all mankind. All mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Meaning, darkness cannot overcome the light. When we have the light of Christ, greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. So when we walk in the light, we have nothing to fear, but we're freed to live life to the fullest now. Freedom is found when we live in the light of Christ. So let me ask you this. If you're a Christ follower, are you daily living in the freedom that the light of Christ brings? Freedom, not shame, not guilt, not being scared, but are you daily living in the freedom, waking up, saying, here I am, God. You are fully aware of everything that's going on in my heart, mind, and soul. And I am not trying to cover up, but I am covered in the righteousness of Christ. I'm not trying to, like I said, put in my Sunday best attitude or actions to clothe myself before you, God. But I am clothed in the righteousness of Christ. He died once for all for me to walk in the freedom of the gospel now. Are you daily living in that freedom of the exposure of the light of Christ brings? Not only did Jesus come to us as the light, Not only is he working through us, but now he wants to do something through us. Jesus is working through us to show and share the freedom in him as the light. He doesn't want us just allow the light to be a gift to us, to give us life. He doesn't want the light of life to just pulsate through us, to be transforming our life, but he wants it to shine brightly through our lives. Just as the Father sent me, so he sends us. And look at these magnificent words in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He says this, "You are the light of the world." Wait, Jesus just declared he's the light of the world. But now he says to us, "You are the light of the world." A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. He says, "You're the light of the world. You're like a city set on a hill that gives light to everyone." The little song maybe you sang as a kid, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Should I hide under a bushel?" No. We're to let the light of Christ, his transforming work, pulsate through our life to shine brightly to others, but with intentionality. He goes on and says this, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Let your light shine before others. It is your light, but it's Christ's light through us. It is Christ was the light and is the light, but now his light is coming through us, and let that light shine before others. Our life should see and represent Christ. So let's hear a story from someone from our own church, John Westrum, of how he is shining bright like the light of Christ in his neighborhood.
Out of a desire to get to know our neighbors, in early January, we invited two or three couples that we knew the best over to our home for a game night and enjoyed that. And we broadened that touch on getting to know our neighbors by, on one of the coldest days in January when it was snowing, taking invitations door to door to have our neighbors come over for an evening. My brother, a sommelier, was in town, and so we invited our neighbors over for a wine tasting and enjoyed their company. 11 neighbors joined us, and then about 5 weeks later, we extended another invitation for conversation and a game afternoon, a Sunday afternoon, and we had 7 or 8 people come. And even in this time of social distancing and staying at home, as we've gone out into the neighborhood, we've run into neighbors and had conversations at a distance. We even had one neighbor who we hadn't met face to face before accost us and really just almost demand a conversation. So it's a unique time, and we look forward in the future to getting to know our neighbors more, being genuinely curious about how we might serve them and just know them for who they are. Whether that's through conversation while we're out for a walk, or maybe around a large bonfire, or maybe a social distancing work day, something to get to know our neighbors and to serve them. That's on our hearts and our desire.
Thanks, John, for sharing your story with us of how to be light in a dark world, how to let the light of Christ shine through our lives. So let me ask us a question. Are you intentionally showing and sharing the light of Christ to others? Not only is his light he came to us and it is in us, it's supposed to shine through us. Are you intentionally showing and sharing the light of Christ to others? What a great privilege. We don't have to, we get to. When we are freed by Christ, it will pulsate through us, but then we're to let our deeds shine brightly to others. so they see Jesus. So the big idea was this morning. Freedom is found when we live in the light of Christ. Freedom is found. Are you living in that freedom? So let me end by these three questions. First, do you have the freedom of Christ? Do you have that freedom? Do you believe that he is the light of the world that exposes our sin, but then died for our sins and rose to give us life? Do you have that freedom? Freedom from Satan, sin, death, and your own flesh, that Christ has freed you from all that. Do you have that freedom? Second, are you living in the freedom? Maybe you are a Christ follower. Are you living in that freedom? Are you living in guilt and shame? Are you living in performance-oriented Christianity or moralism? But are you living in the freedom of the light that we're exposed, but we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ? And lastly, are you showing and sharing the freedom of Christ to your friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers? This was an astonishing statement by Jesus. It was revolutionary. It brought renewal and reconciles us back to God when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Do you trust and believe in that today? Let's pray together. Lord, we are so thankful that Jesus is the light of the world. We're so thankful that that light exposes us, but also frees us. Lord, may any who are listening right now who have never believed that you are the light of the world, believe right now. Put their trust of their whole life into you. And for those who are Christ followers, would they continue to live in the freedom of Christ as the light to all the world and live life to the fullest in a relationship with Jesus? And may you compel in our hearts and minds and souls to let our light shine brightly, to show and share the light of Christ to our friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Just want to encourage you to conclude by worshiping with us now in this closing song.